Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Welcome to the show. A little bit of a technical difficulty. We won't be able to hear your phone calls today. However, you can still call in with your questions. Talk with our producer. Give him your name and the question that you have today, and the doctors will discuss it. How about that? That works. Already have a couple of questions and ready to go. Nick from Lake Stevens had a question today, and also Rob in Gig Harbor wanted to talk about the Viasure. We've talked about that on the show before. So maybe Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, you can tell us more about what that is and what it can perhaps help our patients with.
And we have to apologize. Normally you can talk to us directly and we can have a conversation back and forth, but there's some technical problems at the station. We can't hear what the station is broadcasting.
Yes, we can. We can't hear the calls. So, but you can call us and talk to the producer at 206-421-5757. So those of you a little radio shy, this is your day to call in with your questions. 206-421-5757. So let's talk about Viasure for Rob.
Okay. Well, Viasure is a device. It was originally talked about as a shockwave therapy.
That
I don't like shockwave because it sounds like it ought to hurt.
Yeah. Painful. Man, yeah. I don't want shockwaves.
No, thank you. But
it's actually sound waves.
Okay. That sounds better.
And that's what it does. It sends pulses of sound waves, and it is used for erectile disorder, or it can also be used for prostate enlargement or and obstructive symptoms, men that are having trouble urinating.
BPH and prostatitis also. And also it can be used for musculoskeletal conditions like tendinitis.
Yep. So, wide range of things it can be used for. The thing it's usually advertised for is erectile disorder. And interestingly, the younger you are and the less dense your problem is, the higher the success rate. That shouldn't be a shock. That's true of almost everything in medicine. Mm-hmm. It's easier to cure the mild cases than the severe ones.
That's absolutely right.
It's easier to cure the problems that just came up recently than the ones that have been there for 20 years.
Right.
So, we have to have realistic expectations here.
Yeah.
But it is effective in about 80% of the men. Yeah, so 8 out of 10 men that undergo the Viasure will have better quality erections than they had before the Viasure.
Right. And the difference between Viasure and other devices is the technology has been around for a while. And in fact, many people and men especially have heard about it. The difference is in the head, the treatment head. Mm-hmm. The size of the head that offers the treatment is much larger than the previous devices, and it is not painful.
That's right.
So the penetration is deeper, and it helps with angiogenesis.
The wide head actually allows the energy to go into the penis over a broader space, so no one particular spot is getting hit as hard, and then it's focused down deep.
Yeah.
So the older devices had a very narrow head, and all the energy went through a small port, and it really bit. It was like somebody snapping you with a rubber band each time the thing fired.
Wow, okay.
This one does not. Most guys have no real discomfort with it at all.
Right.
And because it is focused deeper, it actually does a better job deep down in the penile shaft itself too. So it improves the blood supply. It allows the inflammation and the swelling to be decreased and actually can trigger growth and healing and repair of some of the age-related disease processes down there. So it's a nice device. Now, when you get your treatment, and it's not one treatment, it's a series of treatments over several weeks, most people, like I said, about 8 out of 10 get significant improvement. Now, a year later, though, about half of those need to be retreated. So it gets you treatment for a year or thereabouts. Some guys are still functioning just fine, but about half of them now need a second series of treatments. So it's not a cure-all, be-all. It's not one time and you're done. It all depends on how well you as an individual are going to respond to it.
And how long is the series with Viasure as compared to the series that they used to have to do? Isn't it shorter with Viasure?
It is.
Yeah, we offer 6 treatments for our patients with erectile dysfunction and with BPH, and they are done 1 to 2 weeks apart. So you come in once a week for 6 weeks. For older men who have a lot more difficulty, I have sometimes suggested they go ahead and purchase a 12 series instead of a 6 because they'll get more results, better results over a longer period of time with the treatment. Okay. And some of the other treatments, remember, Jerry, they used to talk about 15 treatment sessions.
Yeah. 15 to 20.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's with the painful one.
That was
right?
With the painful one.
Wow.
So now, pain free, shorter treatments, more effectiveness. So
that's right.
It's the way to go. Now, it's also useful for men with enlarged prostates.
Right.
We simply, instead of going, putting the energy into the penis itself. It's the perineum, right at the very bottom behind the testicles.
Yeah.
And then people that are using it for tendonitis and bursitis, if you've got hips, elbows, shoulders, knees that are painful, this will actually help to stimulate healing and repair.
Right.
So we can also use it on your shoulders, your hips, your knees, whatever is causing you pain.
That's right.
So it's rather a nice device.
Yes. Now, for the shoulders and hips and pain, the bursitis, how fast are patients feeling results? How long does it take after this series?
That's a great question. And we're not actually doing a whole lot of those right now. We're we are kind of focused mostly on men's health. Mm-hmm. And for the shoulders and hips and knees, they're variability, but we, again, series of treatments. And because it's not our main focus, I won't have a specific answer, but the technology has been proven and is effective. Mm-hmm. It's just that in our clinics, we're using it mostly for a different purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, if somebody had a tendonitis, we would need to know a little bit more about their medical history. So we wouldn't offer it to non-longevity patients. If we did do it, it would be restricted for longevity patients only.
Got it.
But for Viasure, for erectile dysfunction, for BPH, or for prostatitis, we can offer it to longevity and non-longevity patients. All they do is call the clinic that's closest to them, mm-hmm. book the appointment for the consultation with the medical provider. They're all male physicians providing the treatment in all 3 clinics.
Very good. And I'm going to give you that phone number right now that you can call. That's 1-866-86-YOUNG, 1-866-86-YOUNG. And what you're asking about is the Viasure procedure for men. And you can get some information and we can get you on the schedule and get you to come on in.
Yeah, the history is actually interesting because we started with ED only and the BPH was driven by a patient.
Yes.
And since then, we've gotten great results for BPH as well.
That's very good. It's good to know. All right. We are going to come back and talk with some other questions that have come up. Bread and diet. Yes. And what about the gluten thing and the gallery test? Those are some of the questions coming up. And if you have a question for the doctor, simply give us a call and our producer will take your name and your question and we will talk with the doctors. That number is 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. And we're back. back with Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, and we have Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio live. And Dr. Samira Umat, we are taking your questions today a little differently than normal. You give us a call at the same number, 206-421-5757, and the topic that you would like to talk about with the doctors, and we'll do our best to answer as much as possible.
You didn't notice, however, she introduced us.
Yeah.
Dr. Jerry Mixon live, and Samaras, you know. So am I the only living one?
I'm dead.
Well, a little part of our show today was pre-recorded, so I thought I better let people know. We are live right now. Yes,
we're having technical difficulties.
Yes, we are. We can't hear our phone calls today, so we're just having you text or call in, talk to our producer, and then relay the message.
But we are alive.
Oh, yes,
both
we
of
are.
Us, actually.
Me too, yeah.
We are. All three of us live in the studio. Okay, Alan from Kirkland had a question about bread and diet.
What's wrong with that? The best diet on the planet.
We love that. So, Dr. Umat and I.
I'm just remembering my fat days. When
Too much bread.
Oh, boy, did I eat a lot of bread. Yeah. I used to love going to Safeway at lunch, right, when they were taking the bread out of the
oven.
Oh, boy.
They had this cheese walnut bread.
Oh, my.
Oh, goodness me.
Oh,
and
my.
Oh, my God.
And I'd sit in my car because, you know, if nobody sees you eat it, the calories don't
count. That's right.
They don't count.
See,
yeah.
The doctor said so. We can use that quote.
That was what we used to think when I was fat.
Nobody sees you.
Nobody sees me eat it. It just doesn't count.
Yeah.
I'd sit in the car and eat the whole damn loaf.
Now, I'm
there's something about warm bread.
The fresh out of the oven.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, my. Alan, you got us on the topic of bread. But I am guessing.
We're all hungry.
I am going to guess that Alan is wanting to know how much bread is good for the diet.
As little as practical.
Well, you know, again, the refined flour, the processed flour is the problem.
Yeah.
We all love it, but we all know that's not the best thing for us.
It's addictive.
Yes.
Yeah, it sure is. And that's exactly right? It causes a peak in the glucose.
There's an idea.
What's the idea?
The government loves to control everything anyway.
Yeah.
Let's let them make white bread prescription only.
Oh, yeah. There you
then
go.
Then you have to come to the doctor and get a prescription for your loaf of bread.
Loaf of Wonder Bread.
Bakers won't be very happy with you, Jerry.
I don't think so. Okay, so if you were going to add bread to your diet, what is one of the healthier things to look for? Or are we wanting, maybe he's wanting to be gluten-free. Didn't mention gluten-free.
He didn't mention, and that's the question. I mean, if you're gluten sensitive, obviously you want gluten-free.
Gluten-free bread.
Yeah. I'm not. I like bread.
Yeah.
You got to have your toast in the morning. What would be the least offensive?
Well, the whole grain probably.
Okay. Yes, the whole grain. Okay. And, you know, a slice or two.
Okay.
Not
six. The whole loaf.
Yeah, not half a loaf. Yeah, and please don't smother it in jam, you know, or honey, or and peanut butter.
Yeah, I don't know, Jerry. Peanut butter, honey, jam, why not? The problem is, so all jokes aside, we don't know the question, unfortunately, so sorry, can't really help you. But the problem with eating that white processed bread with sugar is the spike it causes in your glucose.
Yes.
And therefore, it follows with a spike in your insulin level. And then it falls rapidly because the body goes into panic mode and says, I got to get rid of all of this. So it quickly gets out of your system. It goes into storage as fat. And then the body gets hungry very quickly again. Mm-hmm. So you go, okay, none of this sugar was used up. It was all put into storage as fat. And now you're hungry again in 30 minutes. So now you go looking for something else.
Yes.
So those peaks and troughs that are caused by processed white flour with sugar is dangerous for you.
So stay away from that.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing right now, it seems, and my daughter is part of this. She's such a clean eater, makes everything from scratch. Both my daughters do. They're into the sourdough, making sourdough bread. And I guess because it has three ingredients, and is that any better? Do we know? Because
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
making it fresh.
You get a little more protein from the yeast.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a new thing to – it was like, wow,
oh, the taste, you know, some people like the taste of
it. Yeah, it's a little bit tart, a little bit acidy.
Yeah. Okay.
But in terms of causing a sugar rise,
probably
it's
the
same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully we answered your question about that, Alan. If you have a specific thing about bread in your diet, sure enough, call back and we will just be more specific with your questions. And we are taking your questions at 206-421-5757. Okay, so Chris from Tacoma wants to know about the gallery test and can he take that for non-patients?
Yes.
Do we have another day coming up for that?
Yeah, he can. We haven't really set a plan for that. So it's in Tacoma, I see.
Yep,
so,
he is.
You know, call the Tacoma team and they'll reach out to me. I'll email them and let them know. We do on
In
the past, we do it periodically. We set a date when we have team members come in. If you're coming in from outside and you're not a longevity patient, then we have more of a process in terms of a questionnaire involved and so on and so forth. So, yes, we can do it, but do give the team a call and we'll kind of reach out to you and call you back and let you know how and when.
You know, it's simpler with patients because we know their history.
Right.
Yes,
we've got a chart. We've talked to them for hours and hours and hours. You know, people coming in off the street, we have to gather up a bit of a history.
Right.
So it does take a little more time, a little more effort. But yes, periodically we have days that we allow non-patients to come in and get it done.
That's right.
Yes.
And it's a great service. I think the gallery test is a wonderful test.
We just did this in February.
We did one in February. Mm-hmm. That's right. We ran it in all three clinics at the same time. It was very successful. So thank you to everybody that participated, and I'm sure you're getting your results now. But if you are interested, then call and we'll arrange for another day. 50 different types of cancers in one blood test. So very useful if you want to know what your risk profile is, because there's no other screening like this.
Right.
It's the only test that checks 50 cancers with one blood test.
Right. If you ask your primary doctor, can you run this test on me? He's going to look at you and go, no.
And, you know, just to be clear, if you wanted to do just a prostate screening, a PSA is probably better than doing the gallery test, but the gallery test is very useful for things like pancreatic cancer, colorectal cancers, where
ovarian cancers,
the diagnosis is made very late, and by the time the diagnosis is made, the disease has spread outside the original organ. That is the problem in oncology right now. How do we pick it up soon? And frankly speaking, there really aren't any screenings that we're doing. We talked about mammograms for women. We've talked about a PSA as a blood test for men, and literally, that's about all we do. We do colon screening, but we do it late. We have reduced the age from 50 to 45 now for colonoscopies. But even at 45, we know that the incidence of colon cancer is occurring in higher numbers in younger people. And the diagnosis is being made later because we are not screening for them.
And that's one of the big problems we've got with colon cancer, too, is it is occurring in younger and younger people. Used to be it was rare to see it in someone under 50.
Yes, right.
And now we're seeing people with widespread late-stage cancer in their 30s, which is really kind of spooky.
It is. And the incidence of colon cancer in younger women is rising. So women, beware. This is rising, and in fact, colon cancer in younger women is probably one of the higher cancer risks.
And why would you say, what are the things happening, and are there any preventative measures that
we don't know for sure? We think it's probably dietary as far as the colon cancer goes. You know, we're getting more overweight young people, and inflammation from body fat triggers cancers. It increases a lot of cancers, in fact. 31% of esophageal cancers in men are caused by being overweight. 51% of biliary tree cancer, that is gallbladder and associated liver cancers, most of them, 51% from being overweight.
Wow.
You know, breast cancer, for every 7 pounds that you... No, I'm sorry. It's for every 11 pounds that you increase your body fat, you increase your risk of breast cancer by 7%.
Wow. And that's over what you should be, what you're talking about.
Basically over your teen years, yeah.
Okay.
That's when you're usually your thinnest.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're 30 pounds overweight, you've increased your risk of breast cancer by about 20%.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Galleri test is a very useful test. Again, the only one of its kind available right now. So as a screening measure, very good to know for any type of cancer. The sooner you find out, the better off you'll be. I know there's always a fear about cancer. Do I really want to do this?
Do I really want to know?
I don't really want to know. And I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But honestly, if you take the plunge and find out sooner, you'll be happier that you did.
And better to find out sooner than later.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because then you can go in with some knowledge and the doctors know where to look.
That's absolutely right, because the screen will not tell you with 100% certainty, you know, where it is. They'll give a guidance to the physician and say, this is the area you need to look in. And so then you take that information to your medical providers, who will then start the workup to look for the cancer. So, you know, a reverse way of going about it, but at the best, because you want to find out sooner rather than later.
The best we got.
Yeah.
That's very good. Okay, music is going. So we're going to take a break here in just a few moments. If you have a question for the doctors, the phone lines are not working right now. We won't be able to hear your call, but we can take your question as detailed as you can be with our producer, and he will relay that to us, and we can give you the best answer we can. Here's the number to call. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right there.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are live in the studio, and we have some questions to answer. But before we get to that, let's talk about our health analysis we're still offering at Longevity. So many of the folks that call in with their questions are already Longevity patients, which is awesome. You're able to help them because you know exactly which doctor they have and how they're doing, and they usually, you know, just rave about that. We love to hear about that. If you're not a patient, you need to be. You should be. We want to get you in. And why we have the health analysis is to let you, well, get an introduction to our three clinics. You just need one to go to. There is one in Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood. Come on in, meet the staff. You'll take a blood test and an in-body test, which will actually give the doctors a good idea of where you are headed. If you opt for the larger panel blood test, this is a big one that's going to give the doctors about 70 pages. Well, they're going to give you about 70 pages of information about what's going on in your body and seeing if you are at risk for things like dementia and cancers, heart disease, diabetes, and so much more. As we are aging, our risk factors go up. And Longevity is here to treat the normal but undesired stages of aging, right?
Yes. And the big thing is to treat you so that your body functions like it did years ago, and your risk of developing heart attacks and strokes and dementia and diabetes and arthritis, all those age-related conditions go down.
Yes.
So that you get to be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier longer in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal. You know, it's pretty easy to have those qualities when you're 18 or 20.
Yes, that's right. With not a care in the world, and
but
you feel great.
By 50, it's tougher.
Yes.
And by 70 or so, if you're not with us, you're going to fail those tests.
Mm-hmm. But the point here is that the sooner you start, the better off your 50s, 60s, and 70s will be.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you wait till, you know, okay, now I'm slow, and now I'm not thinking as fast, and now I'm hurting a little bit more, and then come to us, well, sure, we'll do whatever we can, and you'll be better off in your 80s, but you've missed the golden opportunity to be even better in your 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, the trick is to start as early as possible, just because it's easier to prevent trouble than it is to fix it.
Right.
Yes.
So You know, I didn't start until I was 50.
Yeah.
And in 76, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But my wife started at 28.
Yeah.
And now at 48, she's, you know.
Still looking like she's phenomenal. 28.
Yeah. She
maybe
looks
29.
Like she's, yeah. She looks like she's at latest early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not just looks like. I mean, yes, she doesn't have wrinkles or creases, but she is lean and fit and hard and can run and jump and leap and cavort with, you know, the best of them and have doesn't get tired, doesn't get short of breath. You know, you should see her jumping rope for an hour at a time at this furious pace.
Yeah.
And so, I wish I had started when at the age she started at, but of course, what we're doing didn't exist.
That's right.
When I was 28 years
old.
You
hadn't invented it yet, Dr. Mixon.
In fact, yes. When I started at 49, just before I was 50, what we did was pretty rudimentary compared to today. You know, we did not have the intravenous exosomes. We didn't have the rapamycin. We didn't have the senescent cell therapies. You know, the hormone balancing was so cutting edge that it was just considered woo-woo medicine back, you know, 26 years ago when I started it. Now, many doctors are accepting that some hormone balancing is acceptable. So we're seeing more testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing more bioidentical hormones for women.
Mm-hmm.
But we're almost never seeing the really comprehensive suite of hormone balancing that we do. Mm. And the fact is, by the time a man or a woman, by the time you're hitting andropause age or menopause age, stopping a woman's period is how we define menopause. But that's not really the problem. You know, I mean, most women don't care if their period stops. That's not an issue. Very few women actually come in and say, please start my period again.
Yes, that's true.
You know, mm-hmm. What's bothering them is the fact that they're getting fuzzy-headed. They're not thinking well. They're anxious. Stresses and anxiety-producing things that used to just roll off their back are driving them crazy. They can't sleep well at night. Their bones are thinning out. They're getting osteoporosis or osteopenia. And the things they don't realize is their breast cancer risk is climbing like mad. And so is the risk of heart attacks and strokes and dementia and cancers of all kinds. And that's true for men and women. It's just the men, it's the risk of the prostate cancer. The women, it's the breast cancer. But the cancer risk is going up. Heart attack risk is going up. Stroke risk is going up. Both genders are having drive and ambition issues and memory problems. And all of that can be fixed. We don't have to put up with it. You don't have to say, well, I'm getting older. Yeah, you've lived a long time, but living a long time and being old are two very different concepts. Okay. I've lived 76 years old, but, you know, I am functioning better than most men of late 40s or 50. And that's because for 26 years, I've had the hormone balance of a 25-year-old man. And that has given me a metabolic advantage. If I eat sensibly, I lose fat. If I exercise, I make muscle. My drive, my ambition, my self-confidence is the same as it was as a young man. And that gives me a real advantage. When I'm dealing with other guys my age, it's really easy to run over them.
So. That's right. That's right.
For sure. And, you know, in perimenopause for women, it's the highest incidence of suicide in women at that time. And that's why a lot of doctors will just put them on an antidepressant. Mm. But that's not their problem.
Yeah. In fact, I just started a video that I'm going to be putting on YouTube here sometime in the next week or so. And the title of it is Depression is a normal part of aging.
Mm.
Because depression becomes frighteningly common. Mm. And even if you're not clinically depressed, that drive and ambition, that self-confidence, that ebullient philosophy that I can do anything, I can conquer the world, Very few people in their 50s and 60s have that anymore.
Yeah, in fact, they realize they can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And that causes
depression. What do you mean we can't?
Well, you're on the program. Yeah. Of course you can do it. They can't do it. They're not on the program, right?
That's right. Well, we want you to be on the program, and we want you to come in to longevity, and we want to see you doing all the things that Dr. Mixon talks about each week. We want you to be stronger.
Faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and that happier. Will make you happier. That's right.
Yes.
And it may make your spouse happier, too.
That's true. Okay, and we want you to come into longevity and take advantage of that free health analysis appointment. Here is the number to call. It is 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. All right. I'm going to take another question here. We have this one. You were talking about rapamycin just a moment ago. Sharon from Seattle wanted to know if rapamycin combined with long-term prednisone and arthritis, what would be happening? Is that something that could help?
We try to avoid long-term prednisone.
Okay.
Prednisone
don't like that.
Is a wonderful, horrible drug. Short-term use is fine. It suppresses – it's the most potent anti-inflammatory on the market. So it suppresses inflammation. It decreases pain. But if you have to take it for more than a few weeks, you actually become dependent on it. You start losing your ability to make your own. And it thins your bones out. It shifts your metabolism towards fat. It makes your muscles weaker. It causes cataracts in your eyes. It
increases sugar.
Raises your blood sugar and increases your risk of virtually every cancer on the market and makes it harder to fight infections.
For sure.
Other than that, it's a fine drug.
I think most doctors don't give it for long term, but when she says long term, I wonder if she's on a low prophylactic dose for autoimmune disease or an arthritis.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk more about this right after the break.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break.
We'll be back.
And we will be back to talk more about rapamycin, prednisone, and arthritis. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Back on Leading Edge Medicine, Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon, along with Dr. Samira Umat, and we're taking your questions that you've submitted and doing our very best to answer some of those, too. And we were just talking about rapamycin and the long-term use of prednisone.
And so, you know, the prednisone, I'm assuming she's got an autoimmune disease or a chronic inflammatory process of some sort. That's about the only time you'd put someone on long-term prednisone.
Okay.
And prednisone is an immune suppressant. It decreases the immune system, and by doing so raises your risk of serious infections and or cancers. Now, I don't have any studies specifically on prednisone and rapamycin. I do, however, have a lot of papers on rapamycin with the other immunosuppressants, things like cyclosporine and so on. Rapamycin is used in conjunction with the other immune suppressants for protection against a transplant rejection.
Yeah.
People that have had a new heart or new lungs or something put in, they have to take drugs to suppress their immune system so they don't
reject
it. And rapamycin enhances that. It helps you to tolerate foreign things better. But interestingly, it lowers the risk of cancer. See, all of these other immune suppressants raise the risk of cancer. And rapamycin, even though it's technically classed as an immunosuppressant, really works differently. Because the people that are on immunosuppressants and rapamycin get cancer at a far reduced rate compared to the other folks. Mm. So it protects that. Rapamycin helps the brain to function better. It helps the heart to pump blood more efficiently. It makes muscles stronger, which is just the opposite of the prednisone. Prednisone makes muscles weaker. Mm-hmm. Rapamycin makes muscles stronger. Prednisone thins out bone. Rapamycin helps you make strong bone. So effectively, when you're taking the rapamycin, you're not interfering with the immunosuppression. That's the good news. But you're also not getting as many of the side effects that you would get with the immunosuppressant.
Mm, okay.
So it helps protect you against some of the ravages of. And so while I don't have papers specifically on that immunosuppressant, the prednisone, my strong suspicion is that rapamycin will help to protect you from some of the damage being done by the prednisone.
But in that case, Jerry, then what about the dose and the frequency of rapamycin use?
Mm. Wonderful question. When we're doing it for anti-aging, if you'll excuse that phrase, I don't like the phrase, but if we're doing it for longevity and to enhance people's level of function, we generally only do it once a week. Some people are doing it twice a week, a somewhat lower dose, you know, say Monday and Thursday. But when they're doing it for the transplant patients, the people that are on chronic immunosuppression, they're taking 1 or 2 milligrams every day.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So they're on anywhere from 7 to 14 milligrams a week, which is significantly higher than most people take it for the longevity purposes. Mm-hmm. So if you're on prednisone continuously, you might consider raising the dose and the frequency and going 1 or 2 milligrams every day with the rapamycin.
All right. Hopefully that answered your question, Sharon. And I'm going to pop over to this question. This is Katie from Gig Harbor. She wanted to know the long-term effects of the COVID vaccine.
About the same as the long-term effects of COVID.
Of COVID, yeah, that we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. When we give a person a vaccine, mm-hmm. we're causing their immune system to think it's been infected, although it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so the adverse effects you get from virtually every vaccine are essentially the same as the adverse effects you get from the disease. It's just that usually we get them less common. So in theory, by giving you the vaccine, you might have 1/5 or 1/10 the chance of getting the same problems you would get if you were to catch a bad case of the disease. The complication incidence, on the other hand, with COVID vaccine seems to be somewhat higher than most vaccines. Certainly the cardiovascular effects, mm-hmm. the incidence of strokes and so on, especially in young men, seem to be much higher with this vaccine than with most vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go for the list. Anything you can see with COVID, you can see with the vaccine. But for most of those things, you have a much lower chance of getting it. On the other hand, we give the vaccine to everybody, and not everybody gets a bad case of the disease.
Right. That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So there's a lot more people getting the vaccine, and they're getting the vaccine several times. I saw one spooky report a few days ago. Some guy in Germany, I think it was, took like 226 COVID vaccinations in a six-month period.
What?
Wow.
Why?
Almost one every, I mean, a couple, sometimes twice a day.
Wow.
He'd be getting vaccine, and he went in every day. He was, I guess, determined to build up immunity from COVID. He must have been one of those guys that believed, you know, that everyone was going to drop dead in the streets from the disease.
Wow.
And he was
wow.
determined to be safe. Yeah.
I wonder how that's going to affect him.
220-some COVID vaccinations in a six-month period.
I'm surprised they allowed it.
Yes.
Well, he went from place to place to place.
Oh.
And he lied. You know, I've okay. come for my vaccine. I haven't had it yet.
Mm.
Zap.
Really?
Go down the block. I've come for my vaccine. I haven't had it yet. Zap.
Wow. That's right up there with the guy that had a Big Mac every day for years. It's like, what are you doing to yourself here?
So, and apparently he is reporting no adverse effects of any kind.
Interesting.
So, you know, on the one hand, we've got folks like us that have had two or three shots.
Yeah. You know? Sick for a day or
and
two.
And we're sitting around saying, oh, my goodness, what vaccine complications am I going to get? This poor schmuck had 226 shots.
Wow.
And he said, look at me, healthy. Mm. Strong like ox.
Or maybe it does nothing, you know. So. Oh, boy.
That's hilarious.
Wow. Okay, let's see if we can slip in one last question before the end of the show today. This is in response to the Viasure that we were talking about earlier. That we usually have that treating for erectile dysfunction, but Rob is wanting to know about it affecting the prostate. And that's the other
thing. The BPH thing.
The BPH.
Yeah, the BPH, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we use it sometimes now for people that have enlarged prostates and they're having increased difficulty urinating.
Okay.
Urine flow is slowing down. Some guys, if they got chronic prostatitis, they're having pain, especially pain in the perineum with either exercise or intercourse. And so we're using it there to damp down the inflammation, the swelling, and so on in the prostate. And that is helping some of the guys to urinate better.
Okay.
So, you know, what it's going to do long term is kind of up in the air. We don't really know because we haven't done it to enough people long enough to have lots and lots of numbers.
Mm.
But the folks we have done it with are, by and large, reporting that they're having fewer prostate obstructive symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Rob, if you're near, you don't have to, in order to use Viasure, you don't have to be a longevity patient. Is that right?
That's
right.
Correct.
You don't.
Okay. So Rob, if you are near one of our longevity clinics, you should at least come in and talk with the doctors at Longevity. We have a clinic in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. Talk with the doctors and they can find out if you're a good candidate.
And you can simply call 866-86-YOUNG,
Y-O-U-N-G. 866-86-YOUNG. Okay, well, thank you for being flexible with calling in your questions a little harder since you're not able to converse with the doctors, but that's what we had to do this week. Hopefully our technical issues will be back to normal.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll not be back, and we will be back to normal.
Hopefully the engineering staff at the station will get this fixed before next week.
That's right. We will be back live in the studio no matter what we have to do with Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And have a great rest of your weekend. Of course, if you'd like to contact us or find out more about what we do here at Leading Edge Medicine, you can get on our website and get the information at lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. You'll see some videos of Dr. Mixon and get to meet our staff and find out more about what we do at Longevity. That's lmclinic.com. And you can also call us for that health analysis appointment at 866-86-YOUNG. That is, again, 866-86-YOUNG. We want to get you in. We want to take those two tests with you, the blood test and the M-body test, to find out if you are at risk for things down the road as we are aging, and we all are, for dementia. Things like cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. These are all things we don't want to talk about, but we need to, because we need to find out what we can do to deal with them or prevent them altogether. Again, the number for the health analysis appointment is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. And of course, our website is lmclinic.com. On behalf of Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon, who just put his hat off on and walked out the door, have a great rest of your weekend. Don't forget, it is daylight saving time, and you will lose an hour of sleep tonight when you wake up in the morning. It'll be an hour ahead. Yes, we don't seem to have to sigh.